Good to see all of you here. We're so thrilled that you are here in the house of God with us. We are full-fledged running, getting the banquet ready for the Valentine event this Friday night. And it's looking really, really sharp over there. So I appreciate all the help that's coming out. Appreciate Miss Carrie and Brother Ethan overseeing that part for us. Do not forget, if you are interested in the basketball game, Brother Ethan has put up a sign-up sheet over here on this bulletin. That is March the 2nd, and you need to see it tonight. It's Faith and Family Night. They're playing Detroit Pistons. So if you're interested in that, please put your name on there and see Brother Ethan, and he will... He'll get the information to me, and so we'll be able to do get the tickets ordered and stuff like that. Let's go to Acts chapter 22. I know we finished up the 12 apostles, disciples, last week. But we're going to, you almost could not complete it without looking at Paul. And so I'm going to stick Paul in here this tonight and next week. We'll look at Paul. Now, all of them that we've looked at up to this point were men who came to Christ willingly as his disciples. But Paul, well, he kicked against the pricks every chance he could get. God had to bring him kicking and scratching, blinding, to get him to where he needed to be. So we're going to look a little bit at the Apostle Paul tonight. And we're going to read Acts 22, verses 1 through 16. It's his testimony there. Acts 22, verses 1 through 16. Men, brethren, fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept more silence. And he said, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way. And when he says this way, he's talking about the way of Christ. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This way, the way of the Christian walk through Jesus. He said, I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering unto the prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. Verse 6, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell unto the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Verse 10. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go unto Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me, and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins willingly, calling on the name of the Lord. So we are going to look at the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul is probably one of the most better known apostles that we know about. You know, although called other than the 12, God chose him directly by his messenger here as we looked at it. Now, as far as his family background, we know very, very little about that. But there is one little bit of information that we can glean from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 8. As we read this portion, it looks to me that Paul was a single man. It says there, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8. And I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. Now, he had a, simply was his preferred condition. He preferred to himself as being single there. You know, and he acknowledges that God has a different plan for everybody. Everybody. In the same passage, if you look down to verse 17, it says, but as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordained in all the so ordained I in all the churches. So, walk according to the will of God for your life. If God's led you to be single, that is fine. And Paul's singleness allowed him some flexibility to travel, and his culture, and he devoted himself wholly to the Scriptures there, and so. It was God's will for him. It's not God's will for everybody, but it is for some, and that is okay. But the best thing to do is to walk according as God has led you to walk. And so we do know that about him. Acts 22:3 told us where he was born. He was born in the city of Tarsus there, which today is modern-day Turkey. If you was to go over and look at the map and back there and line it out, it was there. And he identified himself there in Acts 22, verse number 3, as being from there, as we read our text. We'll go back there and I'll read it again real quick. 22:3, the Bible says, verily I am a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Caesarea. There. Look over in Acts chapter 9, verse number 11. Acts chapter 9, verse number 11. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. You remember, there's that designation, Tarsus. You know, as we looked at the other apostles, they all had some sort of designation that allowed them to be known that that's who they're talking about. Now, Paul was born in Tarsus, not in Rome. So if you look over in Acts chapter 22, this means something. He was a Roman citizen. Acts chapter 22, verse number 27. Acts chapter 22, verse number 27. The Bible says there, Acts 22, verse 27, then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yea. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. So this chief captain had to purchase his Roman citizenship. Listen to what Paul says. And Paul says, but I was born, was freeborn. And so, because where he was born a free Roman citizen, as he was. And if you notice back over in chapter 22, look in chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you, in verse 2. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue. So apparently up to this point, he must have been speaking Greek or speaking Roman, because it's like, hey, wait a minute. He's speaking in the Hebrew tongue. And listen to what it says. And they kept the more silence. And he saith, and so the Jews like, wow, he's speaking of the out of the Hebrew tongue. So they recognized it, and so it was to his benefit at that point. But he must apparently used either the Roman tongue or Latin or Greek, which Greek was modeling. It was well known during that time, in that time frame. Historians say this now. How his father gained his citizenship, we have no idea. It was either because he bought it like the other man did, or Caesar designated a city or town and said, this city or this town done something great for me. It was recognized me, or it gave great tribute to my name. And so everybody from that particular city, although it was born outside of the Roman Empire, they will have Roman citizenship. For free. Paul said, I got mine for free. You had to buy yours. So we're not sure how he got it, but we do know that he got it. We do understand that Paul was a very educated man. Very, very educated man. Had a first-class education, not only in religion, but historians talk about the different quotes and poets and the familiarity that Paul had in literature of that day, that he was educated outside of the religious realm. As well, look in Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter number 5, and verse 34, Acts 5 and verse 34, Acts chapter 5, verse 34, then stood there up one in the council of a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Now go back to our text where we read in Acts 22. Back over Acts 22. Paul lets us know here that that was his teacher there. Acts 22 verse 3, it says, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this very day. So he was a very educated man. He was, go to Acts chapter 9 again, verses 1 and 2. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Well capable at handling God's law. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. And the Bible says there in Acts chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to be to Damascus, the synagogue, that he be found any in this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So he was so well educated in the law of God that it drove him in a zealous manner to go out and to actually arrest people and even see people killed. You know, he resided over the death of Stephen. He was the one that held the coats of the men that stoned Stephen. So a very zealous man because of the religious knowledge that he had obtained. But this is amazing to me. Very, very educated. The Bible, as Paul gave his testimony, said, a Pharisee of Pharisees, but yet he was a tent maker. Look over here in Acts 18. Acts 18. So he didn't allow himself to be caught up in his education, trying to find himself. He got educated and then went to work. Acts 18, verse 2. Acts chapter 18, verse 2, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, which his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them, And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And so Paul had the ability to work and to make tents, and he used that. He stayed with his friends here. It became a talking point. So allow your abilities, allow the abilities that God's given you to open doors among people that you can, have some camaraderie with, and Paul was able to do that. And then spend time with them, and then it talks about greet the church that was in the house of Priscilla and Aquila. So he's able to use that influence and that friendship and to spend time with them. Now he had a Hebrew name. His Hebrew name was Saul, but his Roman name was Paulus, P-A-U-L-U-S. There, some people think that when Paul got saved, God changed his name to Paul when he got saved. But I want you to notice something, Acts 13:9. Now, he's already saved. He already knows the Lord as his personal Savior. Acts 13:9. Listen what it says. Then Saul, and listen what it says, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. So I don't think, personally, I don't believe that it was a change of name when he got saved and born again that God changed his name. There, I believe he began to start to use Paul. Paul is like a small or little. I believe he began to use that, and it was used interchangeably throughout the scriptures, as you do there, but he primarily went by Paul. But I believe it was because the emphasis was on his calling, and his calling was to what? To the Gentiles. So he didn't use Saul, which was his Hebrew name, but we know he was a Roman, brought up that way. So I believe personally he used Paul to emphasize. Now throughout the letters, if you look at his letters, Romans 1:1, 1 Corinthians 1:1, 2 Corinthians 1:1, it emphasizes the name of Paul. It's the same man, same person. It's just I think he chose to go that route or use that name because of who he was dealing with. He said, I become all things to all people that I might win some. Who was he dealing with? The Gentiles. Now here he's in the church, and the church is full in Acts 13, full of Hebrew people, and people had been scattered abroad there in Antioch. And what does the scripture say? Then Saul. So he didn't want to be offensive to them. Now he wasn't like, I'm with this one, I'm okay, I'm with that. He was the same person. You remember as Peter had came down to join him there in Antioch, and boy, Peter began to hang out with him. Peter began to have meals with the Gentiles, and then some brethren from Jerusalem showed up, and Peter withdrew himself quickly. Paul got on to him pretty sharply. Paul straightened him out really good. So Paul was the same person. His character, with all the zeal that he persecuted the people in the way, or Christians, the same zeal is the same zeal he served the Lord with, whether he was Saul or whether he was Paul. So be the same. Be steadfast. Find yourself, know who you are in Christ Jesus. Know where you stand. It's amazing. This morning I heard a song, and I wish I would have knew what's the name of the song, but I don't know the name of the song because I was running on that treadmill and I was out of breath. So I was trying to, but it was like this. When did this was what caught my mind is, when did I forget that God has always been King of Kings, Lord of Lords? Well, we do that sometimes, don't we? We forget. Man, what am I going to do this week? Oh, what am I going to do about this situation? And we simply forget the God that we serve has always, always been King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Don't forget. Remember that. And Paul was the same way all the time. Now, on the way, now listen, this is amazing. On the way to persecute Christians in Damascus, God dealt with his heart. I mean, God came down and literally spoke with him. Go to Acts chapter 7, verse number 5, verse number 58. Acts chapter 7, verse number 58. You'll notice the calling of Paul here in Acts chapter 7, verse number 58. So here he goes. And cast him out of the city and stoned him and witnessed, laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. So Saul's in the midst of persecuting God's people. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 5 said he was a Hebrew, a Pharisee of Pharisees. He studied the law and he was very active and enthusiastic persecuting Christians. But something happened. Whenever he was dealing with this situation with Stephen. Back up to verse number 54. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They were cut to, and they gnashed on him and with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. There's something about there. Paul's holding those coats and he can't stop up his ears. And he's seeing Stephen die by the hands of people that Paul had instigated and probably maybe even paid to be part of his entourage and was stoning him. And Paul, whichever one you want to know him by, never got over this. Never got past this here thing. And it ate him up. I mean, Stephen, he could have looked at Paul and he could have got mad, but he took it kind of like who? Jesus. He could have fought back. He could have took those rocks and threw them back at him as they stoned him. But he followed in the footprints. And I'm telling you, this here event was a seed planted. It was water poured on to the heart of Saul. So when you're going through something, dear friend, your reaction to that situation says a whole lot. It does a whole lot. And man, it went with him, stayed with him. Look over in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse number 3. Acts chapter 8, verse number 3. As for Saul, listen to what it says. He made havoc of the church. Entered into every house and hauling men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere, preaching the word. I mean, it didn't stop it. Stephen's stoning, and the way Stephen did, didn't stop it. As a matter of fact, it probably made him madder. Probably made him so angry. It's like, man, he wreaked havoc. Looking at, I don't have time now, but if you go over and look in Acts chapter number 9 on your own and read verses 1 through 19, dear friend, you'll notice some things there as Paul is giving his testimony over in Acts 22 about this situation there. But look in Acts chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. The Bible says there, and he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go unto the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And Paul was changed by the power of Jesus. But it started by the testimony of Stephen, a man being persecuted, a man being beat down for standing for Christ. And he made such an impact on Paul that Saul never got over it. Look in Acts 9, 17 and 18. Listen to what it says. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother, we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. Brother, if you read on up there, if you read the whole thing, Ananias didn't want to go. Hey, there's Saul of Tarsus. He's over there blind. He's on that street called Straight. Go over and find him. The one killing people, beating on people, putting them in jail. Gone. And when he arrives, Ananias calls him brother. I mean, I think God impacted upon Ananias upon the test. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I think as he lay there, as he walked in, he could tell that God had done got a hold to him and had done saved him there. And he went in there and called him brother, brother. So sometimes in between that point where we read up in verse 5 to that point, Paul turned his life over. What will thou have me to do? Who? Lord. Surrender. Sometimes we get it so crazy mixed up. Well, if person, Brother Johnson, if a person don't say it this right way, this way or that way, there ain't no way in the world they can be saved. For with a heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With a heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made. That Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, that He died on the cross of Calvary, He's buried, and rose again the third day according to the power of God. And I have sinned against God, and I need redemption through Jesus. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. I'm trembling, astonished. Lord, Lord, I wonder what you've done with Jesus today. On your own, go and read Galatians 1:11 through 24. Next week we'll pick up right there. And we'll go on with Paul's testimony a little bit there. But Saul was a tremendous, tremendous man of God. And I think we could learn greatly from him. And I'm telling you, I have enjoyed